This is CliffCentral.com.
Good afternoon, people. You're hanging out with Malcolm, Julie, and Ria Besuisisele.
Of course. Who else?
We are the worst guys.
The worst what?
And it's about to be lit.
At a Clippers game on the court side. Let me put my shades on.
Oh, you're feeling wavy today.
I'm always too wavy. What are you talking about? Too wavy, mama. Go home, Rod. Go home, Roger.
Yeah. This is who we are. The worst guys. Telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. Got a dope ass conversation for you as always. We're talking about assimilation and appropriation for the nation. We're not talking about for the nation, but we're talking about all these things. Dude, I think shin is the easiest word to rhyme with.
Shin.
Yeah, like PlayStation, train station, masturbation,
frustration,
assimilation,
emancipation,
appropriation,
oh my God,
concentration,
constipation.
It's too many. It's too many. Yeah. This is it, man. The show that you've been waiting for, because it's the best podcast in the world. How you doing, my boy?
I'm feeling good, bruh.
Oh yeah.
Ladies in town, so. And I've been giving her not just a little bit of worst, a whole lot of the worst guy.
You've got to, because I mean, if she's gone for such a long time, you have to make up for lost time, right?
Yeah, bro. Plus, she passed all of her subjects at Vazari.
Shout out.
So I got to give her that. Congratulations.
But there's nothing better than the I missed you six as well.
Yeah, I know.
That is also the dopest. So.
But like top three is probably, okay, top two. Let's see. I think we need to put it at top one even. It's either makeup sex, I miss you, or angry.
Angry's quite dope. Angry's quite dope.
Yeah, but for angry, you need a safe word. Otherwise, shit can get out of control, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'd say I miss you. I think that's the most bomb, honestly.
Yeah, but that's not sex. That's making love.
Yeah.
You know, I miss you.
Love over sex.
Obvious.
Exactly. I'd rather make love than to fuck.
Any given Sunday. Love, yeah. There's emotions involved. You know, your souls connect.
They unite. Yeah. I feel you. No, I'm glad for you, my boy.
Thank you. How you doing, bro? See, you swagged out in your Worst Guys t-shirt.
I'm dope. You know, we got that merch out. This Worst Guys t-shirt. Gonna be performing tonight, so I'm gonna be on the stage with it. People must know now. We're coming out hot with our merchandise, the worst guys. Make sure to see it on your screens. We might even pop up on TV somewhere. We're already wearing this merch, dog. I'm so happy we got it. My brother Crisp designed it, Crisp Designs. So, man, you know, we trying to dominate every industry.
We got the visuals.
We've got the merchandise.
We got the audio.
We've got the comedy.
We got the fucking graphics design.
We got the music.
Production.
We got it all.
What do you need? Contact the worst guys.
We've got it for you. 100%. No doubt. But yeah, man, I'm really happy, man. Today's a good day, as always. Whether it's good or bad, it's good. Eh?
Yeah, dog. That's my saying in life. Even though life is shit, it's still legit.
Yeah.
Being alive is a blessing and a treat, bruh.
Obvi. Alright, so let's get into it, eh? We're talking about assimilation, right? Now, this is just the idea of how much people of color have to assimilate to whiteness or Western ideals in order to become successful. I think the first point that we have to put out there is that we live in a white man's world, for the most part. There are some countries that have managed to dodge it, like China. Shout out to China for dodging this Westernism bullshit. Who else? Japan. You know, the Asian countries. Mm. They've managed to kind of put themselves outside of the Western world. They don't care that Trump is president. It doesn't affect their daily lives, you know. But for countries like us, who are influenced so much by the free world or whatever, we see the kind of leaders that get into positions and what it takes to become successful. And I think one of the most important things to highlight from this is that we're not just talking about people who, you know, that J. Cole line, unless he dribble or he fiddle with mics.
Yeah. You're not just talking about the superstar.
We're not talking about rappers or musicians or people who play sport. Because if you look at sports, I mean, black people are killing it all the time, especially if we're looking at America, the land of the free, the leaders of the free world. I mean, nobody kills black athletes. Basketball, NFL, they came, they fucked baseball up. You know, so
don't let him touch the ball. Don't let him. Oh, you let Jesse Rivers touch the ball.
Yeah. So I'm not talking about just sportsmen. I'm talking about leaders and people who have global acclaim outside of art or sports. You know, something. Let's say that people take seriously. The first person I'd go to is Barack Obama. Person of color, leader of the free world. First person of color who's the leader of the free world.
So you're saying the only reason he got into power, he would have never gotten into power if he was more deep in his roots like Mugabe.
I don't think he would have gotten into power being the exact same person he is with the skin tone that I have.
So are you saying like even the shades played the role?
Big time. I don't think America is ready for a full-on black president. A nigga from the hood who wears Jordans and came through is like, yo, I'm here now. I'm trying to lead this country. I don't think America fucks with people like that. So this is what we're trying to discern now. We're trying to discern that assimilation that Barack Obama had to enjoy in order to become the president. And it's not just Barack Obama. It's people of color in general who are assumed to be black. You know, like Barack Obama's black, Trevor Noah is black, but are they really? Isn't Trevor Noah's dad white? Do we not usually take the ancestry of our paternal side? Why is he considered black as opposed to white? You know, Barack Obama the same. These are not black people in the essence of the actual color.
So you're saying pure breed.
He's pure breed.
He's a mud blood. He's a mud blood.
Oh shit. Yeah, he's a mud blood for sure. These are mud bloods. So now we try and look for the pure black. What does it take for the black man to make it? You know? We're talking a little bit about language. How important is language in this conversation?
And that's a big role. Yeah. I mean, you know what I find most interesting, and it really doesn't make sense to me, you know? I could go anywhere in South Africa, all right? The minute I start talking like this, I get judged. Let a French person in come say, can I go to the toilet? Yeah. And you're like, oh my gosh, that is
listen
so dope.
That accent.
That is so dope.
But if I say,
hey, where is the toilet?
I think the most important thing to establish here is that language is not a measure of intelligence.
You hit the fucking nail on the head right there. And that's what many, many people actually immediately just resort to. It's like the minute there's a change in the accent and it's not to their favor, then you're not as intelligent and as what, you know, people make you out to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're talking with Gareth outside a little bit earlier, and he was saying that, you know, language is not an identifying factor for him.
Not at all.
It's just a language like any other. If he was Afrikaans, or if I'm Zulu, English would still be the same to him as it is now. He doesn't identify as an English man, per se. It's just the way that's the language he uses.
It's just, you know, a medium that we use to convey a message.
Yeah.
I mean, now are you going to tell me that somebody who's deaf or dumb is not smart?
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? They can't speak. They use sign language. But that doesn't make them any less intelligent than somebody who can speak.
Yeah. And with regards to the English language, there is a sense of insecurity, especially when it comes to South African people of color, where if you encounter somebody who speaks English really well, which is, funny enough, the majority of black people in this day and age, you know, most black people speak English really well, better than their home languages for the most part, because that's where we went to school, that's what the language we got educated in, etc.
Yeah, and that's why people are talking about like the death of our native tongues these days.
Yeah. So now here's the thing, where there's a sense that you might have sold out as somebody who speaks English well. You know, people get offended by the fact that you pronounce your words correctly.
When you go back home in Makai.
Yeah. It's like the white man is taking you. You know, and I don't think that's necessarily true, because we are just learning and adapting from the environment that we grew up in. You know, so we will, let's talk about the influence of the environment in terms of becoming successful. Speaking of Emakai, we went for the Christmas break, right? And you know, we're just chilling outside the tavern, having, you know, that conversation. Drunken uncle comes up and he's like, "Hey, kunzima kuba mnyama emhlabeni." I'm like, "Oh," we're like, why? And he says, essentially, this is the gist of it. He says, for him to become great, successful, to be able to provide really well for his family, he has to leave being a Zulu man in the village and become something else. He has to go outside of himself in order to become successful, to be able to provide. He has to learn how to speak English to a large extent. He has to learn the mannerisms of people in the Western world, because African culture and Western culture are so far apart that I don't even know how we balance it as black people to be able to be, you know, fully black and also successful or a part of the Western world. You know, and this really resonated with me, because I'm like, shit, you know, this man, Zulu speaking man, now this is one of those people who just speak Zulu. All right. What would it take for him to make it?
I think it draws back to the community.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it this way, and I'll make an example of it afterwards. Like, it's all of the money that revolves in that community.
Mm.
You know, if you're making the flow of money revolve in the community, people in that community can help each other grow and become successful as a unit.
Mm.
All right? But here's an example. My father used to work in the petroleum business, yep. All right, for BP. And he was overseeing a couple of sites. He would tell me that if a guy has a site, a petrol pump, all right, in four ways, all right, and he's an Indian chap, for example, and his friend lives all the way in Sunning Hill, all right, and he knows that, you know, my boy owns a petrol pump in four ways.
Mm.
He'll drive all the way from Sunning Hill to four ways just to go fill up.
Yeah.
How many petrol pumps does he pass along the way?
Mm.
You know, at minimum three.
Yeah.
Just to go support, because he knows he's putting the money back into his own community. Keeping it in a circle and keeping it, you know, within his culture. And that's what we fail to do.
Yeah.
You know,
I think especially as black people, we do fail to do that, because we could grow exponentially.
Yeah.
You know, if we now let's look at the rise of Africa now. Because there's this revolution that's been taking place about pride in Africa, pride in blackness, and blackness actually being royalty, in all honesty. We are magic.
Yeah.
You know. So now we're talking about the focus being on Africa. Let's say the focus somehow did shift to Africa. And we became, South Africa becomes the leaders of the free world.
Which we should be.
Which we should be, because we're the dopest country out here. No lie. So now we're talking about Africa rising and becoming the leader.
Okay.
How does the rest of the world respond to us now? You know, Do they have to learn our languages?
Can I just tell you, it's not even just a thing of learning the language. You know, the culture itself, you know, plays a big part. You don't even need to necessarily be able to communicate that well, as long as your message gets relayed, right?
Yeah.
And we understand one another.
Mm.
But, you know, on the whole point of assimilation, you can see assimilation towards the black culture in music. You know,
yeah.
from the white man.
Yeah. You see, this is the thing now, because we're actually all just sharing in each other's cultures, and we're kind of just taking what we like from each one. And this is where I kind of have a problem with the idea of cultural appropriation, or the vitriol that a lot of people get for cultural appropriation. If something is dope, I'm going to want it. Like, if you buy a dope ass polo shirt, and I'm like, shit, that's a damn dope shirt, I'm not going to not buy it because you had it. Maybe I'll buy it and I'll wear it whenever I'm keen, whenever you're not around, whenever we're not going to be seen together. But the fact that I bought it doesn't mean that I'm stealing from you. You know, the polo shirt exists already. Doesn't matter who's wearing it, you know. So now I'm taking that culture as an example, African culture as an example, hip hop now being the biggest genre of music there is. In fact, the only genre of music there is really right now. People getting vitriol for appropriating. So Kylie Jenner, the Kardashians, who are amazing at doing that and are killing the game, making millions off black culture. But this is where we start to think about the environments that we grew up in. What do we like? What if Kim Kardashian fucking loves hip hop to the death? Must she not participate in the culture?
Did we shun her for that?
Because that's not what she is, you know?
So now it's like somebody telling me no. Now I mustn't rock a suit. I must come with a blanket and a
hat.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that must be my dress sense forever.
Yeah. The thing with that is though, we were forced. I think that's the big difference now in terms of black people becoming westernized. That was forced on us. You know, when it comes to cultural appropriation, it's a decision.
To a certain degree. It was forced on us, I would say, you know, up until the Born Frees. Because the Born Frees kind of like hopped onto it willingly.
So
you can't say in like the bigger picture that it was forced on us.
Because
you're not forced, you know, to say WhatsApp Zay. You're not forced to say hello.
Yeah.
You can come in here, we can do this whole show in Vanek, and we can say that's that, take that.
Yeah.
You know, but what do? We want to be able to reach a wider crowd. And with that being said, English being one of the most spoken languages in the world, that's what we need to do.
Yeah. So I'm seeing English now as just a medium, you know, a way to get further. But this is also the problem, because can a full on Vanak comedian become somebody who hosts the Daily Show?
No.
Or somebody who gets on the cover of Time?
No.
You see, this is the thing.
And that'll never happen.
Yeah.
However, in order for something like that to happen, we need to invest in it ourselves.
It has to be our own thing that grows out of Africa as like a tree and blossoms.
If we don't nurture it, I mean, take into like to account, and I don't like making comparisons with the people that are still around because they get touched and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's not about you. I'm just making a point right now. All right. Take for example, David Gao.
Mm.
You know, one of the South Africa's greats.
Yeah.
You know, he's accomplished many things in his own personal capacity, but did he get to the level of Trevor Noah?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Why? Because he had that language barrier.
Yeah, you know? African comedy. And it's amazing that he's committed to that, because I think the only way to develop it is to have people who are stuck in South Africa or staying in South Africa for the purpose of growing this industry. But as good as you are at Vanak comedy, it's going to end in South Africa. So if South Africa is not the bar of the world, you're not going to be globally successful.
Mm.
See, because that's what we're trying to get to now, global success, the world over. I think a lot of people get bogged down about, you know, I need to be good where I am. You know, you live on Earth. The Earth is a big place. There's a lot of people you can influence. There's a lot of people you can
talk
to.
And that's where you are.
You're
on Earth.
Yeah. So in order to broaden that's what I'm talking about, success, to broaden your access, your touch with people, you know, you have to assimilate to Westernism to some degree, you know, because let's look at music, for example. Popular music in particular, right? Okay. These are the most sold records of all time, all right? 250 million or more records. I just Googled best-selling pop singers of all time. The Beatles, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, Madonna, Elton John, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd. All of them white, including Michael Jackson. This is the most records sold in the world, like pop music-wise, right?
To date.
So this is the biggest you can be. There's nobody here who hasn't assimilated to whiteness, you know, or isn't white.
Yo, and Michael Jackson did it to the...
He went extreme. went extreme. It's not just about the language and the culture. I'm going to change my skin, dog.
He's the reason why people actually went to the Oxford Dictionary and said, you know, there's this word called assimilation. making people lit out here.
exactly. So, you see, this is what I mean by global success, you know. Because apparently there's... I can definitely see musicians in Asia or in China who are more famous to Chinese people than Beyonce ever would be.
Yeah.
But
that's because they build it in the community of their own.
Yeah. And for us, we value ourselves or our products in according to Western criticisms.
Yeah.
The Grammys, Oscar's so white. We want those establishments to recognize us so badly. We create hashtags for them. We create protests for them. And we want black people to win in those spaces. Mm. When Beyonce lost to Adele, we lost our shit. Because Beyonce's album is apparently better, objectively, apparently. So it's either we do away with those establishments and say we really don't give a shit about them, or you assimilate in order to be seen as acceptable by whiteness or the white society. Because if you don't, then the things that can happen is stuff like BET Africa. BET comes out, Black Entertainment Television. What else is fully black owned? You know, these are the establishments that are trying to...
And those are the ones that we should then put on a higher pedestal,
you see,
than the Oscars. Why don't we make the Metro FM Awards our own versus Grammys?
Yeah. See, that's exactly what I'm saying. Because now, these other channels or routes are still not valued as highly as the Oscars or the Grammys by everybody. And that's where the historical factor comes into play, because they've obviously been here for a really long time.
Long, long time. But hey, if you actually go down deeper, we've been here also for a long time. We are the cradle
of humankind, you know. But they've put these institutions up.
In place.
In place. These made up things that we're now following because we're forced. We're in this world. Whereas we were okay chilling, you know.
This is what gives you the stamp of approval. If you don't have this, why are we talking?
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the mindset that it's also that paradigm shift that we just need to make within ourselves.
For sure. For sure. Anyway, we'll continue with the conversation after this. I'm really enjoying it. Please do hit us up with your opinions on Twitter at @_worstguys. You can also find us at cliffcentral.com if you want to talk about the conversation. Assimilation.
Mm-hmm.
How far do you have to go to Westernism in order to be a great in this world?
Yeah.
That is Cora Sings by Sampha.
That was too wavy.
No, dog. OVO knows what they're doing. Drake knows how to choose his people, bruh.
How much money do you think that guy is making right now? And he's not even at the top.
Who, like, Drizzy?
Hey, man, do you know P. Diddy? Do you know P. Diddy? Bad Boy Entertainment. Don't even tell me about Drizzy.
Okay, but top five. For sure. In terms of guap,
I'm talking about revenue.
I'm sure. Surely. We'll Google. Sean Carter.
P. Diddy.
Who else has got
Birdman? Are you forgetting about Birdman?
Okay, I'll give you Birdman.
Okay.
I'll give you Birdman.
Are you forgetting about who's this now?
Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre.
Four.
Are you talking about Eminem? Don't tell me about Drake.
Actually, so he might not even be top five. He
Drake
might not
is still too caught up in his feelings to even know what $100 million is. Okay,
he's caught up. No, but the talented OVOs do the most. For real.
Shout out for that.
Yeah, man. So thanks, Will, for joining us, man. If you're listening to the podcast, please share it with your people, man. Let them think about the things that we're thinking about. Talk about the things that we're thinking about, because you know we have to break down these barriers, these walls. We haven't really confronted race as a people until recently. Yeah. And this is what I like to speak about in terms of, you know, the Born Frees. Us as the Born Frees, we've got a completely different angle on life now. Because as much as history still holds us back, the things that have happened in the past are still...
It doesn't hold us back as much as it used to hold our people previously.
Yeah, we're not held back by the laws. So we have freedom. Mm. All right. And now we have to start to decide, okay, what are we doing with our freedom? Where are we taking this country? Where are we taking people? My big thing is to start moving past the idea of race as the first thing about me. In South Africa, especially.
So you're saying, like, when I approach you, I shouldn't be seeing this black man. I should be, hey, this is Mark.
This is a person. And let me tell you, this is not only when it comes to race. This is with everything.
It comes to, for one, I can say it comes to disability. It comes to illnesses as well.
Yeah.
How many times do you come across, let's say, a paraplegic? And then the only thing you can scan is the fact that, hey, this nigga ain't got no legs. You
yeah,
know what
but there's more to him than that. There's a soul inside.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm trying to say. We need to start understanding people like that. Our souls as people, as opposed to ideas that came after. You know, you need to see me as a person. This is why people have problems with sexuality.
Hey, yeah, that's a big one.
Race. Because you don't see me as a person. You see me as Mark, the male, heterosexual, black man. You know, these are things that you've ascribed to me, but you're not actually looking at what's underneath, you know? You're not looking at what am I saying? What is my character like? What do I do? You know?
The character ethic is one that is, like, largely overshadowed.
Yeah. But I'm thinking this is what we should start basing our character judgments on, our judgments of people on his character. Mm. Not your perspective from your race. You know, Helen Ziller, those tweets that she sent out, as valid as they may be in another context, because they came from a white woman who led a white party, known as a white party, she got a lot more vitriol than if Musi were to tweet that. Okay, maybe Musi would still get a lot of vitriol because he's part of a white party, mm. known as a white party, and hey, they...
To be honest, I think he would have been under the, you know, under the bus even yeah. more than
her.
Yeah.
Because he would have been a sellout. Precisely. But you see, this is the problem. His race determines that. You know, I'm trying to live in a post-racial society, not to say that my blackness isn't important or is not a part of who I am, but it's not my defining characteristic.
We got to see past that.
Yeah. So this is why the whole assimilation, cultural appropriation conversation is important, because now, especially as born frees, we're living in a world where we can have our pick, especially with the internet. Mm, I like Indian culture. Mm, I love sushi. Mm, I love this hip-hop hat. I love Mumford and Sons.
And that's the only way we're going to be able to move forward as people, yeah. as a whole, you know? Yeah. Because, I mean, you know the whole saying, two heads are better than one.
Mm.
I might have one certain idea, but if I look in my community and I can't find anybody who's thinking on the same wavelength as me, you know, am I bound to this?
Yeah.
If I cross borders and that person is on the same wavelength as me, if we put our heads together, we could create something that is far greater than we've ever seen before.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But now you're putting a label on me and calling me a sellout.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, when can I just be a person? when can I just be somebody who's doing something dope?
It seems like when you're alone. That's the only place.
Yeah, when you're alone.
But when you're in a crowd,
all of a sudden you are this, you are that.
Yeah.
Winja. No,
we ain't jump fine.
You see, so I'm trying to transcend the idea of race. You know, the barriers that race puts on, because we have our pick. There are dope things in the world. Some black people came up with them. There are dope things in the world. Some white people came up with them. There are shitty things in the world. Some black people came up with them. There are shitty things in the world. Some white people came up with them. You know, we live in such a vast universe, and we're focusing on all the wrong shit. It's all so stupid.
And that's why we're so behind. Yeah. If you look at, imagine, extraterrestrial, like, aliens are fucking ugly, but they've looked beyond that. Yeah. And look how forward they are.
Aliens are future. We're so far from aliens. They actually just watching us like, look at these Earth people. Still talking about race, dog. How long did we beat race? You know? These guys are way ahead of us because there's more to life than these ideas that you put on me before I even got here, you know. But my soul, my spirit has always been here.
Yeah,
the way it is the way it's going to be until I die, you know. But it has nothing to do with these labels. So I'm not saying don't identify as black and as Zulu and as African, but let's not make that the point of reference for people. How's about we use environment as a point of reference? How you grew up, the school, whatever.
Mm.
The things that I enjoy, that you will enjoy, that's how we connect. The things that we don't enjoy, maybe we connect on that. How's about we connect on actual personality traits? and not labels.
You know, and it's the small things as well. Yesterday, I'm helping a client, you know. Obviously, you know, working at LV, I'm going to try and be as dapper as possible.
Yeah.
I don't know what language anybody else is speaking, so I'm going to use the most used one, English.
Universal.
You know. Yeah. Good day, sir. Good day, ma'am. And so on and so forth. This client is obviously now, he's speaking to me in English as well, because that's how I spoke to him. And then another client comes in that I know, and I always speak Venek with him. I greet him in Venek. Then this guy's like to me, how? Kantua bua. I'm like, you can hear me buaing now, so I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, no, nikina hano re olikala ati. And I'm like, that's your problem. Yeah, you see, that's where your problem starts.
Yeah. So, all things considered, English is a pretty useful language, you know,
as a universal, it's like a clutch move.
Yeah, it's a universal medium. You know, it's a way to connect to many different countries, European countries where they speak French, Italian, whatever. They also know English because it's understood as a universal language.
Yeah, yeah.
So, fuck colonialism, but thanks for the English though, because it does help us to connect.
Yeah,
it does help us to connect a lot, and that's what I mean. Like, if we were to put the focus on Africa, you know, people wouldn't have to learn, you know, new languages in order to understand or to connect with us, because we already have a way to connect. This universal language being it. But yeah, let's go into some stories that have caught my eye over the last week, and yeah, we'll wrap up the show and let us know what you think. Yo. All right. Okay, so the first one for me, there's not much real news going on right now, so it's a bit light. But I don't know if you saw the controversy about...
It's always the worst guy's news.
yeah, exactly. I don't know if you saw the controversy about Rob Kardashian and Blac Chyna.
No, I saw it.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it.
He released nudes of Blac Chyna after a sour breakup, let's say. So ultimately, this is... revenge.
Yeah.
Releasing nudes. But let's talk about this thing of nudes. If somebody says you are nude, is it your property now?
Yeah. You've given me ownership.
Yeah.
Of this thing.
Okay.
You know, if I send you a meme.
Yeah.
And you share it with public, I'm not going to be like, oh, take my meme down. You know, I'm going to be like, hey, shout out for my meme, you know what I'm saying? At least give me the credit, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now,
photo cred,
you know, that was my meme, you know what I'm saying? But now, I understand with the nude is different, you know. Maybe Blac Chyna should have just disclosed, you know, this is for your eyes only.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, maybe if she didn't say that, then, you know, it's public property now.
It's public property. Exactly.
Okay. So this is the thing, though. This was out of revenge. This was airing the dirty laundry. I mean, she trusted him.
All is fair in love and war. Zach. All is fair in love and war.
Hit the nail on the head, actually. Hit all the nail on the head. Love is a dangerous game. Love is a losing game, to quote the...
First of all, I don't know why Rob thought he wasn't going to get cheated on. You were the stripper. Second of all... This nigga's a Kardashian. How you think he's not gonna fuck your life up, Chyna?
Hey, like, that curse is real.
It was just like, I don't know what these two were thinking.
Yeah. But would you ever publish a nude that you received? Or share a nude?
Try me. No. I'm not that much of a savage. I'm a savage. That much of a savage.
Yeah, I think it just has to do with being an asshole. I don't think it has to do with the fact that it's a nude at all.
But
they could... put dirty laundry out about anything that could have happened in the relationship.
Precisely.
Yeah. So it's just immaturity.
Sometimes I feel like it's not necessarily done with intent. Mm. I mean, like, how easy is it to pocket dial somebody? And these days, now, my ass has been doing the most with my phone these days, going into applications and on Twitter. Twitter, it shows your pictures there before you start typing.
Exactly. It's so scary because I actually received a couple of nudes and I was like, I could just press this thing.
By mistake. You know,
and it's gone. Yeah.
And even if you delete the nude, I'm telling you, somebody was with the way Twitter works.
Yeah,
somebody's gonna see.
Yeah.
Hey, nigga, exactly. I saw what you.
It's so immediate. There's no running away.
No, man.
Like, I actually wonder if somebody saw my. Because I told you I watch porn on Twitter sometimes because it's, you get 100 megabytes free with MTN. And actually, you can watch videos now. So my porn game is elevated on Twitter. But I was going through some pictures and there's a chick with an ass out and a vagina. And I liked it. I was like, oh, shit. I liked it by mistake. I'm like, somebody's going to see that I like this porn. Oh, my God.
But it must happen. I feel no shame.
Yeah,
anymore.
Me neither.
Especially on Instagram. Instagram is the first one to expose you. Yeah. It says you're full handle.
I have no shame in sex and sexuality. I'll pops right in front of your house if you want me to, dog.
Hey.
You guys are fucking making murder and violence so normalized. Sex is even more normal. Now you want to make us feel shy about it. I like my shit all the
time. It's only public indecency if you're looking. Don't look.
Yeah.
That's your problem.
Skawara. So yeah, I'll just wrap that up to immaturity on the black, on the news being released of Black China.
And it's not even a maturity on one side. I think it's a maturity on both of their
sides. But Rob Kardashian is the most trash.
What do you do when somebody sends you a video of them cheating on you in the bed that you bought in your house?
You burn a bitch and bury her. Hey, that's when you come up with hashtag men are trash. Don't burn a bitch and bury her. I just have to make that disclaimer before people get offended. I have not burnt women before. All right. So that's that news. Okay. And then also furthermore, because I know you've hung out with this guy before, at least you've seen him around. Lon Robert Sotsobe, right?
Hey, that guy used to stay in my complex. Savage. I don't know how he made the pro tiers. Let's just start off there. But you know, congratulations on that first. Now look where you've put yourself in.
He's a savage. He's a savage by nature. You told me a story once that he got kicked out of
the complex.
Yes. Why was this?
You know, disorderly conduct.
You know, making noise in white neighborhoods.
You know, no, but on that part, I stand behind him.
Yeah.
If he is paying for that accommodation,
yeah,
whatever he does on his property should be up to him.
Yeah. No, I feel you. But anyway, he's being a worse guy. He's being a bad man out here in the streets. He's been suspended by the CSA for 8 years for spot fixing. He says the reason for this was a delicate financial situation. Yeah. So all I'm saying is he needed that cocaine money. And
he was looking for the Durban July go-ups.
Yeah.
And now he got busted.
And he's blaming it on a stiff financial situation. Don't lie, dog.
What pisses me off is that I'm sure there's so many other cases similar to this, but not everybody gets busted. And some of them just get swept up like underneath the carpet.
Because the
man at the top is getting a kickback.
Yeah.
And he's also keeping quiet. Look at Sepp Blatter, for example.
Also
fucking shut up.
Yo, Sepp Blatter been. But you see, this is the whole thing when it comes to busting the spot fixes and stuff. It's like, how much of this shit is actually going on, man? There's so much going on that we have no idea about. Our whole world is a fabricated lie.
If it's happening in one case, it's happening in many cases.
Many.
I can tell you that right
and
now.
And as for everyone that's getting busted, there's 10 who are not.
Exactly. It's just a decoy,
you
know?
Yeah. And he was just one of the unlucky few to actually get busted.
Hey, man. Hard luck. Sotsobe.
Hari pui. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Hey,
we'll catch you on the flip side. If you can still bowl 140Ks 8 years from now, we'll gladly take you back in the CSA.
You still lit?
All right. And then, the last thing that caught my attention was obviously the story about Miss SA and the white gloves that she took to go feed some children.
What's your take on it?
People need to stop bitching, man.
Yeah, man.
Because we're crying wolf, we're doing all this shit, and eventually, when something serious happens, we're gonna get a hashtag All Lives Matter.
Exactly.
That's what happens. Because, I mean,
guys, no,
you see, you really think she woke up in the morning and is like, hey, I'm going to Blacks today. I have to put on gloves. Is that what people are thinking? I highly doubt that was the reason she wore gloves. I genuinely believe that it was a hygiene thing.
Gosh. For all you know, she doesn't even use a condom when she's jeeving a black guy.
Yeah.
But now she's... guys,
she was giving out food. She was giving out food.
You know, that's standard health and safety procedure.
Yeah. So now, this is the thing, because...
I saw a funny tweet.
Yeah.
You know, I think or a post by Tsepang Bereng.
Yeah.
You know, and he was mentioning all of this, and then he's like, what if she had a hectic syphilis on the finger? What now? And now all of these kids are chowing nice syphilis, and then they die, and then you're going to say, why didn't she wear gloves? So either way, she's losing.
Exactly. And here's the thing, though. Some people argue that maybe enough is enough. You know, every little thing we're going to call out. But that trivializes your actual movement. Mm. You know, the gloves are not important in the black consciousness fight. They're not important at all. What's more important is, why is our Miss A not black?
Miss SA?
Yeah. Why is she white? You know, in a country 80% black, you know?
Hey, I'm not gonna even, you know, dive too much into it, but keep in mind that there are votes, you know, that are made.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, in the nation, I mean, us as the majority, the black people, a lot of them also voted for her.
Yeah.
So we have nothing to cry about.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying we put her in that position because, you know, she would represent us well in the world. She's well assimilated to whiteness. It's more difficult for a black person to represent us in the world because she might not be so assimilated to whiteness. She might love the fact that she's going to get paid for Lobola one day, where white people will be like, oh, that's strange. What is that?
Lobola.
You see, so this is the thing. This is the thing about success that we're talking about. She is white, and that closeness with whiteness puts her in a position to become Miss SA. Yeah, the Zuma meme, you know, two fingers. So now we need to start looking at, okay, what is actually happening behind the scenes in order for people to become the people that they are, put in the positions that they are put in.
Mm.
You know, you have to make yourself more acceptable in Western ideas to become big to some extent. You know, some people want to bleach their skin, make their skin lighter, which obviously I feel is ridiculous. But, you know, I think the message from this is that to some extent, you have to assimilate. And I'm not talking about wearing a suit. I'm talking about your demeanor, your actions, the things you want people to know about you. You know, you're going to have to, you know, kind of pull back from your Africanness. You know, like the drunken uncle was saying to me at the time, he's like, I'm going to have to let go of this Zulu man shit, and I have to go outside and learn how to speak English, and I need to become this thing in order to become successful. So I think the point is that we live in a white world, in a white man's world. I think we know that by now. But now we need to start thinking about the future. And that's where we come in.
Yeah, because we from the future.
As the words go, we future. You don't know? I'll tell you what happens in 2020. There's a revolution, you know, and we're going to lead the revolution. I don't know if you're coming I don't know if you're coming with us. I want to see a revolution in my lifetime, and I want to be right in the front row. And we need to start thinking about what the new world is going to look like. You know, is it going to be based on race? Is it going to be based on love? You decide what is important at the end of the day to you, you know. Don't make me be what you want me to be.
Mm-mm.
Because of what you see.
Amen.
Let me be what I am. That's it. Anyway, let's go out, you know, with the worst guy, Cypher.
Always.
You know, we're gonna go hard.
Rip it.
You know why we're gonna go hard?
Why?
Because we black.
Why?
And we might just fly to Paris.
Ooh.
We might just be some niggas
in Paris.
You know what I'm saying, huh?
Hit him with a young chance.
Driving me insane in my membrane.
In my membrane,
I'm going cold.
Going cold.
My shit is old. I'm the new guy.
New guy.
I'm a worst guy.
Worst guy.
I look to the future.
Future.
It's an odd future. Look at me. I'm wasting all of my time talking to you about race while I'm just on you on my grind.
Oh.
I don't give a fuck about the way you see me through the window. I've been looking at the road, riding 100. All you know is that I don't play the silly games that you got out here. Yeah, I'm black. Yeah, I'm tough. But I still like white shit. I play golf. I watch cricket. I do all this white shit. But it doesn't mean shit to me because I'm a visionary, so I don't want to take your label.
Not at all.
I don't even crave them. I'm like labels, record labels, dropping all their artists because they so shit. I'm dropping all you fucking artists because you don't know shit.
You don't know shit, you don't know me, you don't know him. And that's why you're talking so much shit just like Lil' Kim.
Woo!
And that's why Eminem is the best rapper alive, because we strive to be similar to him. Oh my guy, it's the worst guys, it's R-E-H-A-P.
Hey!
And that's why I'm spitting on the worst guys. beat. It's actually Kanye and Yeezy and Jay. Oh my gosh, pass the beat my way and I'ma rip it up to shreds. Every single piece, every time I get a piece, I make sure that I share my treats with my boys, with my community. Feed the people and let them know that I see everybody as an equal. Ball so hard, motherfuckers wanna find me.
Love me for me. Love me for me.
Say what? What?
Love me for me.
Ball so hard, motherfuckers wanna find me.
Love me for me.
Say what?
Love me for me.
Skirt, skirt.
Love me for me.
Yeah.
It's the words, guys.
Woo!
It's been a pleasure and a treat as always.
Wake up, wake up, wake up.
We'll catch you next week, Wednesday, same time, same place. And never forget.
Never ever.
We out.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
This is CliffCentral.com.